hand you this. If you want to sit on the pulpit or clip it on somewhere, that'll help the live stream.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully this won't come off. Oh, what a blessing once again to be with this church family. Thank you so much. I'm always humbled when I'm asked to come. Your preacher always humbles me by his invitation, by his spirit. I appreciate his spirit, his love for the Lord, and his love for you and for the local church. What a blessing. We need local churches like this one. We need churches like this all across the country that come, that are serious about the Word of God, that are serious about following the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank you so much, church. I know that pastor tells me that you've taken me on for support, and I appreciate that. I'm humbled by that as well, and I want to thank you. God has been so good. This summer has been busy. The Lord just filled up the schedule. I came into January and in February saying, well, Lord, you know what the situation is with the pandemic, with Lost Father being really on hold for now. And yes, it's still not much happening just because the pandemic in Central America is still pretty bad. I talked to a preacher friend of mine, a preacher that I actually talked to in other conferences, and I asked him, I said, how are things in, he's in Mexico. So I said, how are things in Mexico? And Mexico is really one of the better situations of Central America, believe it or not. And he has said, well, things are still pretty bad, preacher. So I'm thinking, wow, so pray for our ministry. We don't know what God has in mind. You know, sometimes the Lord just brings us to places where we just say, Lord, help us to trust. We don't understand what you're doing. We're kind of like deer in the headlights right now. But sometimes the Lord brings us in those positions where all we can do is say, Lord, help. You know, when Peter was sinking, you know, his prayer wasn't Lord. It wasn't long. It was, Lord, help! Because all he knew was he needed the Lord's help. And sometimes words do not come to me. I'm sure that you've been in those situations where words have not come to you as you're praying. And all you can say is, Jesus, help me. And this morning I woke up and I said, Jesus, help me. Because I find myself so much in need of his help, and so that's where we are as a ministry. So if you'll pray, again, I've mentioned the names, but Ben and Jonathan Garlic. Okay, so when you cook, ladies, and you use garlic, think of the Garlic family. Okay, pray for them, and pray that the Lord will just work this whole situation out. Brother Dan's in heaven, the director's in heaven. We had COVID strike us at the same time last year, and so it just kind of brought everything to a halt, really. But we know that the Lord is in control, so we're just we know the Lord's got something in mind. We just want to make sure that we're not going ahead of Him, and that we're not lagging behind. Okay, it's either way, and so we want to make sure that we're right on time, God's time, and so if you'll pray for La Espada. Okay, the sword, and that's what it is in English. So we're just trusting the Lord right now. I'm sure that Ben is doing what I'm doing. We're just having meetings where we can have meetings and being helped to churches where the Lord opens doors for us. That's what an evangelist does. An evangelist is just to assist a pastor in local churches to grow for the work of the ministry. And so I'm not going to stop because I can't be in Spanish churches all the time. In fact, had an opportunity to speak to a Spanish ministry in Solid Rock Baptist Church. Some of you may know the name, Charlie Clark. He has a Spanish ministry there. And I was there probably, oh man, they're saying it's like 10 or 11 years ago, probably. I had the opportunity to stop there on the way back from my last 2 weeks out. And Brother Clark said, yeah, why don't you come? And so I came, and they have a group probably of about, I'm going to say about 50 or 60 on a Sunday night, which is pretty good. And so got there, wasn't there for a while, and I get into these situations where people remember me. My memory is terrible with names and people unless I see them all the time or talk to them all the time. So I've been to enough churches now to where, they know me. Sometimes they contact me on Facebook. They try to friend me. They saw me or heard me in a service, and I'm going, okay, I don't remember him, I don't remember her. You know, so I have to go back and say, you know, I have some real creepy people trying to be friends. You know, I'm pretty creepy, I guess, but I have some people that want to friend me, and I don't know who they are. But I was there Sunday night with our Spanish folks there, and I had one particular gentleman come up to me after the service and recount to me that the last time I was there, I preached a message on the grace of God, and he was struggling with trusting Christ as Savior. He really hasn't done it. And the Lord was really convicting him through the whole time. There was kind of a Thanksgiving special time that they used to have, where they have a preaching time and then a Thanksgiving type of meal for the church folks there, the Spanish folks. And we had the fellowship and all that, and he told me that throughout that whole time, he was under so much conviction that he couldn't eat. And he said, I trusted Christ, though, after the whole thing was over. And he just gave me that strong hug, and he said, thank you so much for coming. And I said, praise the Lord. Glory, all glory be to the Lord for what he did in your life. And we spent the next probably, you know, half hour. And he's just testifying of what the Lord's done in his heart in the last 10 years, all right? So you never know. You keep planting the seed of the Word of God. Keep passing out those tracts. You just never know what the Lord will do. Sometimes, I left that event not knowing that this brother had received Christ after I left. But you see, the Word of God is not bound. So that's why it's so important that we are faithful. But that was a blessing to me. So God is doing a work, and so we just need to be faithful. So that's just one of the things that blessed me personally, just to know that as we go and as we preach, as we help in local churches, that the Word of God is doing the work and continues to do the work. It's not over when we leave. In fact, most of the time, revival meetings are real revival meetings after the preacher leaves. You know, it's after it's all said and done, whether or not there has really been a revival. And sometimes we just kind of get into our little boxes and try to figure out what God is doing and how God works. And we put him in this box. And God says, forget the box. I'm not limited. My word is not bound. I'll do the work. You just be faithful. And so that's what we're asking God to do in our ministry. We're just asking God to show us the way. Open doors, but help us to serve while we're wherever we are. We're a team. So, like I said, I'm here in New England, but Brother Ben's not here. His brother's not here. They very seldom come to this part of the country just because of the way it works. But they have their circle of ministry God's given them, and I have the circle God's given me. And we just want to be faithful wherever we are at. And that's why I'm a member at Gospel Life Baptist Church. And when I'm there, I want to serve the Lord with the minister, with the gifts and the abilities that God has given me there. All right? So pray, continue to pray for us. Thank you for your support. I do not at all diminish the importance of prayer support. I need that because our battle is spiritual. Not just we think about the physical aspects of what happens to us, but really it's a battle of the spirit. So pray for us. Pray that the Lord will open those doors soon. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I don't think much is going to happen until next year. Things have just not improved enough for us to have our regional conferences like we've had them, but we do have them in the States, okay, as well. So there's a lot of things that just need to come together now that Brother Dan's gone. So I'm just mentioning that to you because you're a supporting church. I want you to know what's going on. And certainly I look forward to the rest of the summer. I have a missions conference that I'll be at in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, towards the end of August. And then I'll have next week I'll be with Brother Chris Baker. Pray about that, if you would. Chris Baker pastors in Rhode Island. He's been faithful there for probably 40 years now. He has asked me again. He's humbled me. He's had me every quarter practically to come and just be there for a week to preach, just go soul winning, to do whatever he wants me to do. And so he said, Brother Pinto, I want you here from Sunday to Sunday. So I just wanted to make sure. Are you sure you want me here? Sometimes he's talking and I'm not, you know, I have to write stuff down. I think he's got the VBS going, and I think he has me playing some role next week. But pray about that. He's had an opportunity to restart a church. He's planted two other churches besides the church in Coventry. There's one in South Providence, which is south of downtown. This is where the Spanish folks are. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago now, I think now, went door knocking, and every door practically down the street from where the church was meeting, there are Spanish people. My understanding is basically they're Dominicans, and he has a burden to reach those Dominicans for Christ, and I appreciate that. So I'm giving him a lot of resources, gospel tracts in Spanish. I'm translating some things for him because he has a vision about that church doing a work among the Spanish. So the Lord will open those doors in His time, but we're preparing for it. I'm trying to get him resourced and make sure that he's ready for it. So when the Lord reopens those doors, and I think He has given the church their meeting place again because they lost it because of the COVID situation. So I think from what I saw on Facebook that they've opened that up again just recently to be able to go back into the building they were in. So we're praising the Lord for that. So pray about that, would you please? I know that Brother Baker would appreciate that. Let's go to the Word of God. Just want to share with you those things. We're going to the book of Luke this morning. Luke in chapter number 4. And we're going to go into chapter number 5. So hopefully you have your Bibles ready. You're following along. Maybe you have a pen or pencil, or take some notes. Maybe whatever the Lord might speak to your heart about. Sometimes you may want to write a note just to kind of give you an idea of the setting of the scripture. I know that, you know, this is the day and age of study Bibles, and they've got all outlined, all that stuff. Well, my study Bible, this was a cheap Bible. I say cheap in the sense that it wasn't very expensive. And now it's become what I say in tongue-in-cheek, it's my Pinto Reference Bible, because I write all of my notes in here. So if I were to lose this Bible, I'd be in trouble. Got all my notes in here, things that just help me keep things in context, and some things that the Lord shows me. So I want you to encourage you to go ahead and take notes. Maybe you have something by your side, or maybe just a piece of paper. A lot of times what I do, and I'm just saying this not because I'm a great Christian, but because I need to work at being more like the Lord, and I can't do that if I'm not paying attention in the services, so I write notes. I write notes. I'm writing stuff down because I need it. I need to grow in the Lord. Verse number 40, Luke 4:40. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the gospel of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes,
and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fact that there's so much that we can draw from any one passage in the scripture as you, Holy Spirit, see fit to apply the scripture to our hearts and our lives. Oh, Lord, help me to draw out only what you know we need this morning. Lord, thank you for the privilege. It's awesome privilege. It's a privilege and a responsibility that you will hold me accountable for. Oh, Lord, cleanse me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Lord, help us to be good listeners, Father. Help us to put out anything that would distract us mentally. Lord, help us not to daydream. Help us not to be distracted. Lord, speak to our hearts. Change us through your word, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The times that I read through the life of Christ, I try more and more to try to see a story. Sometimes, at least through my own Christian experience, I'm reading, especially through the Gospels, and I'm just reading the Gospels and not trying to draw in my mind a picture. I think part of it probably is because I'm a reenactor, Civil War reenactor, and I left my old kepi here. That's okay. I bought a new one, or a newer one, a newer cheap one. But I find that it's so important for us. And this is kind of on the side, but in order for us to really appreciate American history, we have to really go back to that time period. I go back to the 19th century when I do my reenactment so that I can understand what Americans were then, what they thought then, and not try to put our 21st century opinions and our 21st century view into that period, because in doing that we will misunderstand the history. And in light of what we're reading here, I think it's important that we go back and try to understand that this was a first century period in which Jesus was living and having his public ministry. These were men that lived a life that is completely foreign to us. We just don't understand this culture. And so in order for us to get a better appreciation, I think it's so much so important for us to go back and try to think and try to put our minds and ourselves in their sandals, okay, and understand how they probably thought and how why they said what they said, and sometimes why Jesus said what he said and what his application was in regards to the way they thought and the way they lived. And it really helps us make the application in our own lives, because there are obviously a lot of aspects to daily living that are still the same in our own hearts and our minds today. But understand that as we read this, as we have finished reading this passage, I'm going to try to set the scene a little bit. Not that I know all the aspects of it. I had the opportunity and the privilege to be to Israel about 6 years ago now, and really the old cliche of it makes the Bible come alive is so true. It really does. It helps you so much appreciate the land where Jesus walked, where the disciples labored. You know, it helps you appreciate a little bit more. I took the passages of scripture again. You know, being there by the lake, being there by the Sea of Galilee, and there was we were there at the Tiberias, and there's a hotel we stayed at, and of course our days were filled with activity from the morning until night. So I deliberately got up early so that I can go down and see that sunrise. How many love to see the sunrise? I love to see the sunrise, but pictures the sun rising over the Sea of Galilee. There are the Jordan Mountains that are over on the other side of the sea or the lake, and just to see that sun come up in the morning, and there was that breeze that was coming across the Sea of Galilee. And of course, there's a lot of development where our hotel was, and they had like kind of a walk area where they had shops, but everything was closed down because it was early in the morning. So I would go out, and of course I'm a camera freak. You see me taking pictures, right? So I'm taking pictures of every moment. I'm trying to get the different views, and I see the guys go out on their skiffs and they're throwing the nets, just like we're going to read about here, we just finished reading about. They're throwing their nets out there, and there are like two or three men. I say they're skiffs, but obviously they're bigger than skiffs, but it's not that big a boat, and they're out there, and the waves are choppy, you know, and there's a breeze out there. Not a real strong wind, but strong enough, you know, to kind of do one of these things. You know, the boat's kind of going up and down like this, and the guys, you know, they got their sea legs, so they know how to kind of keep their balance as they're taking that net out, and they're throwing it out there, and they're pulling that net in, and I'm just trying to picture, wow, this must have been like what Peter was doing, and James and John, and they were out there, you know, and it was labor intensive, you know. There's no hydraulics involved, there's no machinery, they're just going out there, you know, with you know, just muscle pulling it in and all this. And so I go out there and I read these passages, you know, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, and I'm trying to picture that, trying to imagine what it must have been like. And so when I read this passage, I'm trying to do the same thing. And so we go back to chapter number 4, verse number 40, where the Bible says, "Now the sun was setting, and all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." Now, again, you can read through that and not really stop to think, but we're going to do some stopping and thinking this morning, okay? So I hope you drank enough coffee that you're kind of somewhat awake, okay? And that you're thinking with me. So here the passage of Scripture says that it's getting to the end of the day. The sun was setting. Now, I don't know about you, but when the sun is setting, after I take my picture of the beautiful sunset, I'm ready to set myself in my rack and call it a day. Okay? And so here is towards the end of the day, and usually we're thinking about, okay, it's over. Let's kind of, you know, have our supper. Let's get ready for bed. But notice what's happening here. It says, all they, verse number 40, all they that had any sick with divers diseases, it says that they were brought to Jesus. And he laid his hands on every one of them. And I put in brackets, every one of them. Now imagine that. Now stop for a moment. All these people are coming. This is Jesus. He's already in his public ministry. Many were coming to be healed, and just that. They only wanted to be healed, and they were good with that. Others were coming, they were listening to the message they were preaching, and they were getting what they needed spiritually. Some were just content to get what they wanted physically from Jesus, but it didn't matter. Jesus healed them all. And the Bible says that he healed every one of them. It's late in the day. The heart of God. The desire of Jesus to meet the needs of all that came to him. Imagine them, they're coming in, and they're coming probably in a line, and they're getting in line, and they're waiting, and Jesus is not looking at his watch, he's not looking at the clock, he's not thinking that it's getting late, but he's thinking about them. So he's healing them. The Bible says he's healing every one of them. So the point is that it's getting late in the evening. The Bible says in verse 41, devils came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. All along the way, the devil did everything he could, and his demons were doing everything they could to distract Jesus from his purpose. What was his purpose? He came to seek and to save that which was what, church? Lost. He came to die on the cross. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. But of course, the Jewish people were looking for a king. They were looking for someone to come and to set up the kingdom and to kick out the Romans. And so any opportunities that the devil would use to try to distract that, that's what the devil did. The devil, the demons came, he's the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the anointed one. So if the crowds, you know, were to pick up on that and they were try to maybe force Jesus or encourage him very strongly to go ahead and take that title, that would take Jesus away from the purpose of his coming. So again, he rebuked them. He tried to keep that, put a silence to that. And the Bible says, verse 42, when it was day, now again, he didn't go to bed early that night, all right? When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, okay? He went to a place away from the crowds. Why? Well, because hundreds were coming, thousands were coming to be healed. He couldn't heal. Apparently, there had to come a point to where he had to stop healing and he had to go to bed. He had to get some rest. He got his rest, but then he gets up the next day, comes early. Who knows? Probably right before sunrise, Jesus gets up and he knows that before too long there'll be hundreds more coming. He could heal all day long, and so he goes and he takes time to go away from any of that crowd, any of that pressing of the crowds, to spend some time with the Lord, with his Father. And so we know that his practice was to do that. The people, verse number 42, sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. So he is there. He is at this point in Capernaum. He has not been long since he really moved to Capernaum. He was in Nazareth, but they basically kicked him out of town. He goes, he moves to Capernaum, and guess who's at Capernaum? Well, Peter's at Capernaum. That's where his home was. That's where his fishing business was. It was this fishing town. It was a working town. Here, Jesus is now there. And of course, the crowds follow him. And now Capernaum becomes the center of attention because Jesus was there. And he was healing. And they were coming from everywhere. And so there he is. He's there. And the people are saying, don't go anywhere else. We want you to stay here because we need to be healed. We want you to stay here. Don't go anywhere else. And then Jesus then responds to that. And he says, I must, verse 43, I must preach the gospel, the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. Remember that when Jesus came on the scene with his public ministry, John the Baptist was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of repentance. The Jewish people were looking for, you know, the physical aspects of the kingdom, that to set up the kingdom. But Jesus, of course, John the Baptist was preparing them to understand that Jesus came to reign in here first. See? And so Jesus takes that message. As we know, John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus takes the message that John the Baptist was preaching, and he is preaching the same message. He's going to the synagogues. Why? Because he came unto his what? He came unto his own. The gospel was to go to the Jew first. And so Jesus is following the pattern. He's preaching the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom. You must let me reign in your life. Let me take over in your life. And by the way, it's the same message today, brothers and sisters. Jesus wants to take over because he knows that the best one to take over my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I'm in control, things go down, things go south. Nothing works when I'm in control. Nothing works when you're in control. And so Jesus is preaching this message, and he realizes that, you know, there are many, many that are coming to be healed. But they don't understand. There's a greater sickness. There's a greater problem than their physical ailment, their physical disease, and that's the sin nature. And he's come to save us from that sin nature. And that's what he's trying to get across to the Jewish people. So he wants to get this message to other cities. So he says, I can't just stay here. I've got to go to other cities and preach this message. Verse number one, the following chapter, I continued the region to that so that you understand that the story continues there. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, another name for the Sea of Galilee. and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Again, this is referring to Peter and James and John, who had just come back, and we're going to see this. They had just come back from a long night of fishing. So again, this was typical. As soon as the crowds were able to find where Jesus was, they would come to him, and Jesus would begin to heal. And then in the process of doing that and seeing the crowds, he sooner or later came to get to the real reason why he came is to get the gospel out to the people. And so as he was there, as he was in that busy fishing town of Capernaum, there he is, the crowds are coming, and so he's right by the lakeside. The crowds were pressing, and there were those ships that were just came in. Peter just came in from a long night, and James and John. Verse number 3 says, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." So Jesus takes advantage of the situation, and basically as the crowds were pressing and pressing and pressing, he was just being very practical at this point and says, you know, there's no sense of my being, you know, kind of pressed over to the edge of the lake at this point, so I might as well do better by getting into one of the boats and pushing out a little so that I can project. And it was really customary at this point in time for the teacher to be sitting while the others are standing. So we're kind of doing it the opposite way today. so they came and they saw Jesus and they were listening to what he had to preach. And we know that he preached the gospel of the kingdom and he taught the people. Verse number 4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets, let down your nets for a draught." Now picture this. Remember what I just said minutes ago, okay? Peter is a good fisherman. In fact, he's an expert fisherman. He's been doing this all of his life. Many Bible scholars believe that probably he had two homes. So if you had two homes back during the time of Christ, you were doing real good, all right? Probably one in Jerusalem. They do have the foundations there at Capernaum of what is considered the home of Peter. Unfortunately, they built this big monstrosity where people can sit and look down into the remains of what they say was Peter's home. But the point being is that he was a fisherman who knew his job. He did his job well. He did it so well that he needed to hire laborers. Have anybody seen now hiring signs around? I mean, it's like I see them everywhere, right? And so Peter hired men, James and John, and probably others, to help him in the fishing business. They were out. And again, I'm not an expert fisherman, so I'm just throwing this out because I've heard this from others that know a little better. That the best time really to go out is when if you're going to go out in the lake, if you're going to go out in a pond to go fishing, you want to kind of wait until the waters are still. You don't want to have a lot of wave action on the tops, because usually when there's a lot of wave action on the surface, the fish tend to go deeper into the lake or into the pond. So I'm guessing that probably at this point, Peter knows his business well. There's a science to his fishing. So they went out at night. You know, the winds are calm. There's not a lot of wave action. There's not a lot of wind action. But they were all they were there. The Bible says that they went out. Simon says in verse number 5. He says, "Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night."
Yes, sir.
Okay, got to put a little, you know, got to put a little emotion there. Okay, a little attitude, all right? Now, I wouldn't say, "Master, we have toiled all night." I would say, "Master, we have toiled all night." I would be kind of tired, kind of exhausted. And just the idea of anybody. Now, Jesus is not anybody. We're going to talk about that. But just about anybody to come to me and say, "Hey, go back out there. Go, you know, go launch out into the deep and cast out your net for a catch. You're going to get something." No, I don't think so. Been out there. Been there. Done that. It's not going to happen. I know my business. I know what I'm talking about. Notice what Peter, how Peter says this. He said, and again, we don't get the how part of it because we're just reading it. But imagine now, here is a man who knows his business, has a science of fishing. He says to, again, he's saying, Master, we've toiled all the night. And I've taken nothing. Now, when he says all night, he means all night. Okay, anybody ever worked third shift? Okay? I worked third shift years ago, okay? And I know how it was a third shift. I was kind of half asleep, half awake. I had to sit at a machine that actually puts a plastic cap on a cartridge for a filtration company, and I would sit there as the plastic cap is melting and then it's placed on the cartridge, and you had to kind of sit there before you press the next button and it puts the next cartridge on, and that was not a good thing because I was sitting on a stool. And there was this metal bar that went across, and it was about right here, and so I'm watching this machine. And of course, as you're sitting there watching this machine, and I am ready to kind of nod off, as I see some folks do that while I'm preaching, they go kind of like this, you know, right? And so, yeah, sure enough, I did one of these things, but the problem was that bar was right there. And boy, I woke up with a bang, going, whoa! So I nodded off. The only problem with that was, you know how those that metal piece had a sharp edge, and so it cut right in my forehead, so I had blood coming down my forehead. And so I'm going, oh great, so I have to run and get it band-aid. Now, look, this, you know, for a guy, this is pretty embarrassing. Okay, I got this cut right across my forehead, and so it was gonna be pretty obvious how I got it. So I remember going in, you know, finishing my third shift. And the first shift boss was coming online. So I'm walking out, he's coming in, he sees my forehead, and he starts laughing because he knows what happened. He knows exactly what happened. And I'm thinking, great, I'm going to have this scar on my forehead that I'm going to have to explain. You know, and everybody else is going to be laughing at me at work. But you know, third shift, you know, it's long. You know, you want to be in bed. Now think about this. Now Peter has been out there. He's working pretty hard. Now you gotta think of this now. I'm up when I'd rather be sleeping. I'm working hard. I'm working to produce, to get something, and I come back getting nothing. Do we have any fishermen here? Any fishermen? Any fishing ladies here? Okay. Now, how many of you have gone out fishing and you come back with nothing? Okay? All right. Now, how many of you that have come back with nothing, you're just, yay! Anybody like that? Yeah, no, it's disappointing, right? I mean, I was at, last year, one of the few meetings I was asked to be at that actually happened. Went to a men's retreat, went way up east of Allagash. We weren't in the Allagash, but we're river area, but we were east of there. It took us like 30 miles of dirt road to get there. I mean, I didn't even know these ponds existed. North of Baxter State Park, and we were out there, and we were on these two ponds. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I'll just say this right off. I have a fishing pole. I have a river that runs in my, you know, the Kennebec does run in my backyard. All I have to do is walk down there and throw a line. But I'm not really an expert fisherman of any kind. So these brothers, that's all they want to do, you know. So I said, well, I'm going to have to, you know, get my bait and all that stuff. So I didn't have waders, so I used these rain pants that I use for my hiking. So I get out there in the lake of the lakes, you know, I get down there. It's about this deep, and I'm doing what these other guys are doing. I'm just throwing the line out. I'm 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 throwing. This goes out for 2 hours. I'm throwing the line out. I'm throwing the line out. I'm throwing the line out, and nothing. I look over to my left. Of course, that guy gets one, that guy gets one. I go over my right, well, that guy gets one, that guy. And I'm thinking, well, what's wrong with me? Okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? So, you know, I come out of those 2 hours and I don't get anything, and it's not very encouraging. Now, that's for sport. That's for fun. Peter's doing this for a living. I mean, if you don't get any fish, you know, there's no money. You know, if you go out fishing for lobster, you don't get anything in those traps. You don't get anything. And so it's not only disappointing, it's very disheartening if you're making, if you're doing that for a living. And Peter is, you know, again, keep that in mind as he's saying, as Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing.
Yes, sir.
And now you're saying, go back out, launch out into the deep. Well, we were in the deep all night. And not only that, I already put the nets away. I cleaned the nets. See, if you check very closely, it says, verse number 2, it says they were washing their nets. You know what that means? You know, once you wash everything, you're done. You wash it, you know, it's not like you get a hose and go, there is no hose. Gotta get the water. I don't know how to do it, but I'm sure it was labor intensive. Get all the junk out of the nets, fold the nets, put them over there by the boat so that you'll be ready for the next night to get the nets into the ship. Then you have to go out. So again, it's all ready for the next night.
Yes, sir.
But then Jesus says, no, don't go out the next night. I want you to go out right now. Now? But Jesus, I clean the nets, they're full. No, go out now. Go out for a drop. You'll make a catch. But Jesus, we've already been out to those deep parts. We were out all night. You know what I like about this is that Jesus has already moved into town. And Jesus is taking this opportunity to reveal himself a little bit more to Peter. In a way that Peter just didn't. See, Peter was starting to get to know the Lord in ways that he didn't know before. Jesus comes on to Peter's life, coming to Peter's life about a year or so ago, and Peter is just beginning to know the Lord as the Lord spends more time with him and he with the Lord. And there's that period of growth in that relationship that Jesus is working on. By the way, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to develop a relationship with us, each one of us, and draw closer to us in ways that we don't understand or know yet. But he's working on that. Because the more we get to know the Lord for who he really is, the more that impacts our way of thinking and our way of life. So much of what we do is so based, and I was thinking about this, preacher, as I was meditating on this, but how we think and what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ in our personal relationship really does impact our behavior. It really, really does.
Yes.
Is he the Lord of our life in the sense that do we look at him as the Son of God who came, who died on the cross, who deserves our allegiance, who deserves everything from us? Or do we look at him as somebody, well, you know, I've asked Jesus to come to my heart, but I'm busy, I got a life, you know, I've got the things to do, places to go, and the Lord is kind of part but not preeminent in our life? And I think that the Lord is bringing Peter to the place where he's trying to get him to go to the next level, and he comes into Peter's routine of life. And he shows himself in a way that Peter's never seen before. But he comes in a very unusual way.
Mm-hmm.
He comes into our routine and he shakes our routine a little bit.
Yes, sir.
He comes into our routine and he challenges our way of thinking a little bit. You see, because all of us have a subroutine, we have a way of looking at life. We have a way of thinking that the Lord wants to change. He wants to change our attitude. He wants to change our spirit. He wants to change the way we live our life. Because the way we live our life is not working. Have we come to that place, believers? I hope we've all realized, those of you that are here, you've been here, you've been saved for I'm assuming, for quite a while. I think we can all agree that our way is not working out too well, is it? Our way of thinking, our way of looking at life, our way of dealing with life, just not working out. And the Lord comes in and says, look, why don't you do this? And we say, yeah, but. And when we look at verse number 5, this is Peter's yeah, but. Yeah, but I've toiled all night. We've toiled all night. Yeah, but. How many times has the Lord spoken to me, and how many times has the Lord spoken to you, and we say in our hearts and our minds, yeah, but. I want you to witness to your neighbor, yeah, but. I want you to give in this special offering, yeah, but. I want you to be faithful to all the services at the church, yeah, but. And we have all these yeah buts with the Lord, and the Lord is saying, look, do it, trust me. I want to do something great through you. I want to do something great in your life, but you need to trust me. It's going to be something different. It's going to be something you're not used to doing. It's going to be something that's going to challenge your way of thinking in your life. It's going to change your routine. You're not going to be necessarily comfortable. You see, the Lord always wants to bring us to the place where we're going to step into another level of life, a way of doing things, where we're going to feel insecure about it. Well, I've never done it that way. But I've got this routine. I do this way. And the Lord says, yeah, but do it this way. And Peter comes in, the Lord comes into Peter's life and into his business that he says, hey, I know this business. I know what I'm doing here. And he's asking him to do something that doesn't make any sense. I want you to go back out. I want you to take those nets that you just cleaned and folded and put away. I want you to get that boat. And I want you to get that boat out there. And I want you to put the nets in there. And I want you to go out into the deep. So it takes a little bit of time. It's going to take some effort. Peter is tired. Doesn't feel like doing any of that stuff. He feels like, you know, I need to get a sleep. I need to go back to the house. I stayed up all night. I need to get some sleep. And Jesus says, no, Peter, you know what? Why don't you just go out launch out into the deep. You're going to get a catch. What I like about what Peter does is, after his yeah buts, this is what he says in verse number 5. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, there's a lot of things we can say about Peter in a kind of a negative way. But what I like about Peter is that he does what we all are guilty of doing with the Lord. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. And then we stay there. We don't give the Lord his way. But at this point, Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down a net. Now, I know we can talk about the fact that he said net, not nets. And there are messages there. I understand that. But I'm looking at the fact that Peter at least is taking that step of faith. He's taking that step out of obedience. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. You see, all of us are going to come to times in our days, in our routine, where the Lord's going to ask us to do something. And at that point, it'll be a point of decision. We could stay, you know, where we're at, the way we do things, and say, yeah, but Lord, it's not going to work because. Yeah, I would, but. Yeah, but, yeah, but. And then stay there and never obey the Lord at all. And not yield to what the Lord's asking us to do. Or we could say like Peter, okay, you know, it's going to be like, I've never done this before. I'm uncomfortable doing this. This is not really me. I can see all kinds of problems with this. But nevertheless, Lord, because you're asking me to do this, I'm going to do it. Even though there, in my flesh, there's everything in my flesh says, have we ever been there? Anybody? Have you ever been under conviction in the service, or maybe during the week where you know the Lord wants you to witness to somebody or give a tract to somebody, and we say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but? I just had that happen just a day ago. Okay? Yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I go by this place where this guy is selling used furniture, and I needed to get a coffee table. I went there, saw the coffee table that I thought I could use, and then as I'm loading it into my car, guess what the Holy Spirit is saying? Can you guess? Can anybody tell me? What do you think the Holy Spirit is saying at that point? Give him a track. Yeah. And so, I had the yeah buts come up. Yeah, but. So the Holy Spirit says, go, give him a track. And it's always a still small voice. Give him a track. There's a lady there. Yeah, but I think I already gave that gentleman the track. Yeah, but that lady didn't get one. That lady that's talking with him and his wife, she didn't get a track. Yeah, but. Nevertheless, at thy word. What are the next two words, church? I will. Nevertheless, I will. There it is. That's yielding. That's saying, Lord, this is not me. Lord, I finally said, I will. Got into my glove compartment. I'm looking for the track. Got the three tracks. Went over there. And I laid the three tracks down there for them to look at. And I felt like I did what the Lord wanted me to do at that moment. You see, that's what Peter's doing. He said, I will do it. And then the Bible says, when verse number 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net break. But remember now, before that happened, Peter, what did Peter have to do?
There are nets.
Not a little one, by the way. They don't throw little things out there. They had to get, kind of... Well, he's tired, right? He's already done this all night, okay? So he's going, he's going to get that net back into the boat. He's going to get, he's got to push the boat out. He's got to get in there, no motor. No, none of that. It's... Get the oars in, right? And while he's doing this, what do you think he's thinking? I know what I would be thinking. It's not the word. I'm doing this, but he's going to see. I know what I'm talking about. I'm doing it because I've heard him preach, I've heard him teach, I've seen him heal. And he's probably good at healing people, but I'm good at fishing. I know what I'm doing. This is a waste of time.
Yes, sir.
I'm wasting my time. Mm-hmm. So he's, you got it. And that's what I would be thinking, okay? He throws out the net. And then that net was full of fishes. Now think about this. He's thinking this all the way over until he throws the net out, and then suddenly, doesn't say he waited for hours or anything. It says he threw his boat in it, and his net sinks. And he sees that there's a stirring, and he has to kind of pull by hand, okay? When he pulls, all of a sudden it's like, whoa! And he gets that other line, and he pulls that net in, because the nets are, they're connected with the lines, and they have to pull the net, the ropes in, so that they can pull like a bag. It's kind of like pulling like a bag out of the water, okay? But remember, he's doing this by himself, all right? Because he's not expecting anything. So he's, all of a sudden, whoa. So he realizes that there's a lot of fish in here. And as he gets it over to the side of the boat, of course, you got to pull that net in. You got to start getting it in. And as you're getting it in, you're emptying, you're taking the fish out as you're pulling the net up, but he realizes that there's so much more in there. Now, try to think what he's thinking at this point. Jesus told me to throw the net out, you're going to get a catch. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but it's happening. And I can't believe it. This is more than I would catch on a normal third shift night. And so he's going, whoa. And so, you can only imagine what's running through his mind at this point. And I'm just kind of throwing a few things out there for us this morning. Verse number 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So I can picture that James and John probably were in the other boat, kind of following not too far, and there were others. And so when they saw what Peter was happening with Peter and that he was struggling, hey, come over here. There's a big catch, so they're coming. They're trying to. Now remember, one net. They can't handle one net. You know why? Because Jesus did the work here. Jesus did the work. And it was exceeding abundantly above all that they were able to think, ask or think, because God works that way. When we listen, when we yield, God does the rest of it.
Yes.
You see, what our yeah buts do is they keep God from working and showing himself in a way that he wants to show himself in our life. One of the biggest problems I find when I go to churches and we talk about soul winning and giving out tracts, you know, that is the biggest hurdle for a lot of believers, to be a witness.
Yeah.
But all the Lord wants us to do is say, nevertheless, I will. Nevertheless, I will. And so as we yield, just like Peter did, the Lord does exceeding abundantly. The Bible says in verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw this great multitude of fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, look at what he says here, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Imagine as Peter is hauling and all those guys are getting it, and the ships are both so filled that they're beginning to get lower and lower and lower into the lake. How humiliating that is for a fisherman who says he's an expert. Hey, I know my business, do you? Does it look like you do, Peter? Does it look like it? You said there wouldn't be any fish out there.
Yes, sir.
Well, what's all that? Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever done something or said something and you thought that was the dumbest thing I ever did or said, and you're looking for a crack to crawl in? Has anybody ever had that feeling? Right? Am I the only one? You know? You want to go, oh, you know, that was so stupid.
That was so stupid. I'm out of here.
Right?
Yeah, it's that kind of feeling. I can only imagine that Peter was kind of feeling like that.
But he's realizing something else. That Jesus is more than just a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he said master. That word master, the other meaning for that word master is teacher. He's more than just a teacher.
Yes, sir.
He has control of creation.
I'm telling the creator of the universe, brother, there are no fish out there. I'm wasting my time.
True.
The creator. You tell the creator that. Creator, you don't know what you're talking about. I was out there all night. Trust me. There are no fish out there. Trust me.
You say that the creator who created the fish?
Who? He's the one that decides where the fish go? He's the one that decides where the fish swim? How much they eat? When they die? When they're born?
He created the astral lake. He created the planet. He created everything. And Peter is telling the creator of the universe, I know my business. I know my business.
Amen.
Trust me. So of course.
Lord, I'm sorry. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. It was wrong for me to look at you as someone who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't know what he's doing. I thought I knew more than you did. It brought Peter to a point where he realizes Jesus is not just somebody I tag on in my life.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is the creator. Jesus is our sustainer. Jesus holds everything. The Bible says
but all things consist. You see, he holds our very atoms together. And we treat Jesus like he's the guy next door. If I have time, just kind of get in line and wait for me, Jesus. I'm kind of busy right now. And Peter is realizing that Jesus is the very creator of those fish.
Yes, sir.
He caused those fish to go into my net. And he caused all those hundreds of fish to get in my net.
Yes, sir.
How could I be telling him?
I know what I'm doing.
And so he's humbled, and he sees Jesus in a very different light from this point forward. Brothers and sisters, how do you see the Lord in your life? Is he just somebody that you kind of tack on to your busy life? Is he somebody that, on Sundays, yeah, because Sundays is the thing. But on Monday, I have my routine. I have things I gotta do. I know what I gotta do. I know what I need. I've got this. You remember that phrase, I got this? And many times, preacher, the problem with Brother Pinto is I still have that mentality. I go back to that. I got this. And we only go to the Lord when we get to a place where we think, well, I don't got this. I don't think I got this. Lord, help me. But the fact is, we don't have anything.
Right. Yes, sir.
We don't. We think we do. You see, we're Americans. We got insurance. We've got the government. We got this. We got that. We got this. We got it all covered. We got this. And then the Lord says, okay, I'm going to send you a microscopic virus. You can't even see it. Yep. You can't even see it unless you see it under a microscope. It's so tiny. I'm just going to see how you can deal with that. See how we're dealing with it? You see how it's kind of gotten the world to go, I'm saying, Peter understood now who he was talking to in a real way, more than he did before. And brothers and sisters, I need to know the Lord more. You know what Paul said? He said, that I may what? Know him. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, the more we get to know the Lord, the more that literally impacts our way of thinking and our way of life. But we see, we've got this kind of distance relationship with the Lord, and we're not really getting closer. We're just kind of, kind of almost static, although I don't necessarily believe in that so much. But on a practical level, it seems like we've come to a level, man, said, okay, that's it. That's all I can trust you with, Jesus. I got this. I know what I want to do. I know where I want to go. I know what I'm thinking. And Jesus is saying, no. Launch out into the deep. Go to a place where I can do what you can't do. And that's what Peter did. He went out, going to a place, going to an area where he thought, there's no way I'm going to catch anything. But he went out saying, I'm doing it because the master told me to go.
Yes, sir.
And while he's doing it, the Lord has already prepared all those hundreds of fish to gather together right where he throws them.
Yes,
and so he's humbled.
But this is what Jesus says. Look at it again. He was astonished, verse number 9. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. And so all was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, watch this now, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. There's the next level.
Yes, sir.
There's the next level. What was Peter doing full time? He was a fisherman. I got this. I know what I'm doing. Jesus comes into Peter's life and says, look, I am in control of the fish. I'm the one that makes it possible for you to catch them. I know where they are in the lake.
If I know that much, then I must know a whole lot more than you're giving me credit for.
Yes, sir.
I must be the Son of God who is in control of everything. I heal, but I'm also in control of nature. Mm-hmm. I can cause the winds to come up. I can shut them down. I can cause the waves to come up over the boat, and I can still them just by speaking. I am more than just a rabbi, a teacher. I'm the Son of God. And I am calling you to do something. I want you to be going out for men like you went out for those fish all your life. I'm calling you to step out from your comfort zones, and I'm asking you to do something that I've been doing all along, and that is I've been going after men. Yes. I've been preaching in synagogues. I've been healing hundreds, but I'm one man. And I am asking you to come with me to do what I'm doing, to go out and reach men. That was beyond Peter. That was beyond him. For him to call Peter to basically, for all practical purposes, be a preacher. Peter's not a preacher. Peter is a fisherman. Peter is an average guy like you and me. He didn't go to Bible college. He didn't have any of the formal training. He knew how to catch fish. And he was doing that routine. Even after he met the Lord Jesus, he did it for a year while Jesus was in his public ministry. Now Jesus is almost halfway through his public ministry. And now he's showing Jesus, Peter, look, Peter, I can control the fish. And I'm asking you to be a fisher of men. Not only am I asking you, but I'm saying you will impact their lives. You will catch me.
Yes, sir.
You will. Now we know what happens in the book of Acts. We run out of time. But we know, those of you that you've read your Bibles, you know what the history there, the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, Jesus has ascended into heaven. He says, now I want you to go. I want you to wait for the filling of the Spirit. I want you to go to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, what happened to Jerusalem? About 3 months earlier, Jesus was what? He was crucified. He rose from the dead. Most of the people in Jerusalem were thinking, well, he's gone. He's not the Messiah we're looking for. The Romans crucified him. He's dead. He's gone. Jesus didn't appear to everybody in the city. He appeared to several hundred, but not to everybody. Now he's saying to Peter and those disciples after his resurrection, he says, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And they went. And we know the story. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess who's the preacher who stands up to preach? He stands up before the crowd of thousands of Jews that came for Pentecost. That was a big feast. It was a big celebration. They're coming from all over the place. And Jesus says, I want you to go. I want you to wait for the filling of the Spirit. And we know what happens. Peter preaches a message of salvation and repentance. And how many got saved? Anybody remember? How many? 3,000. So we can at least say at least 3,000, probably 3,000 plus. Wait a minute. You know what that is? It was Jesus saying, Peter, go out and launch out into the deep for a drought. And Peter does that, right? And physically, he catches all those fish. But now spiritually, guess what he's doing now? He's catching fish, all right, 3,000 or more. Why? Because it took one believer to say, I don't understand this. I'm scared. I have all kinds of reasons. I have all kinds of yellows. But Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. That's what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for people to say,
I don't understand it all. I don't get it. I don't see how I'm going to be able to do it. But Lord, you're speaking to my heart through your word, and I want to yield to your word. I will yield to your word. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. And when we have believers that do that, the Lord does the rest. Wow, the book of Acts is, you know, the book of Acts is, it's a history of the Lord doing the rest. Exceeding abundantly, just like he did with Peter in the Sea of Galilee. He said, you will catch men, nevertheless. Did Peter have issues? Yeah. Did Peter have failures? Yeah. He denied the Lord. He went through all that. But guess what? All of us have those times, don't we? In our walk with the Lord. But you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to confess our sin, for he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we get up. And the just man falls 7 times, and then what? He rises up again. We keep going. And we say, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. I will. I will. I don't see how you're going to do it. I can't see anything in me that's going to make it possible. I'm not really good at handing out tracts. I'm not really good at talking to people about salvation. But you've asked me to go, and with fear, and with hesitancy, and I'm really not that kind of a person. But Lord, you want me to do it, so nevertheless, I will. And when we start doing it, guess what? The Lord takes over. And when the Lord takes over, he does. So thanks, Adam. God be the glory. He just privileges us to be used. He doesn't need us, but he privileges us the opportunity to be involved in reaching other people. You know what the Lord's doing here in our church? In this church, like in our church? He is saying, he's giving us his word. And we're listening. And he's looking for brothers and sisters in the Lord that will say, I don't know, Lord. I know you're working my heart to do. It could be soul winning. It could be giving. It could be maybe some talent that you have that you can be using here at this church. I don't know what it is. But the Lord says, I've got something I want you to do. I don't want you to just come and sit and say, thank you, preacher, and leave and not do anything. You see, God was preparing the disciples to do something. But they had to come to the place where they would say, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. He's just looking for yielded believers that are willing to step out, that are willing to yield. He's not going to give us the hows and the whats and the how's going to happen. He never does that. Because if he did, then we would think, oh, I got this. No. God's got this. And he's just saying, look, trust me, I got this. I got this. You got your list of yeah, buts, but I got this. If you trust me, and you forget about the yeah buts, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for these, your people. Thank you for this passage. Every time I look at it, every time I meditate on it, I'm encouraged, I'm convicted. Lord, you want to do exceeding abundantly through us. There are so many in this area that need to hear about you. There are so many things you want to do through us and in us. If we just put aside the yeah buts, if we just put aside our excuses, whatever it is that's hindering us in our minds and in our hearts, help us to put it aside and just trust you. With head bowed and eyes closed, how many would say this morning, Brother Pinto, I know that if I were to die today, this afternoon, I know for sure that I would go to heaven. I have a Bible reason I can share with you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I am 150% sure that I'm going to heaven. I know that. Not because of me, not because I go to this church, but because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Would you be willing to raise your hand as testimony? No one looking, please. No one looking, please. God bless you. God bless you. How many Christians this morning would say, Brother Pinto, the Lord has spoken to me about a certain area. The Lord has, like Peter, the Lord has asked me to launch out in a certain area of my life. And maybe it's giving. Maybe it's soul winning. Maybe it's prayer life. Maybe it's Bible life. Whatever it is,
The Lord has definitely spoken in my heart. Pray for me. Anybody like that, believers? Anybody? Praise God. Lord, you see our hands. Father, help us now. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let me encourage you. The Lord spoke in your heart. Why don't you come and right now as we're not going to sing, we're not going to do, I don't know what you do for a regular invitation, but let me open up the altar for you to come and just start that conversation with the Lord, even right now. Lord, Father, you've seen the hands, Lord, you know our hearts. Help us, Lord, to just be yielded. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you need to come and just spend a little few minutes. The altar is open right now. The altar is open right now. It's not going to be anything other than just listening to the still, small voice. That's all. We're just listening to the still, small voice. And we're responding. Being like Peter, saying, nevertheless, I will. I will. No more excuses, Lord. Help me, though, Lord. I can't do this without your help. I know what you're speaking in my heart about. I can't do it. But you asked me to. You want me to. So I will, because you said, go. Perhaps you did not come, but you would like to come. You thought, maybe I should have gone. Well, come now. If the Lord spoke in your heart, you want to come and just spend a few minutes. We're just giving the Lord an opportunity to deal with us in our hearts. There's nothing magical about the altar. It's not about that. It's not about a show. It's just starting a conversation with the Lord that you'll take home this week. The Holy Spirit knows how to apply the word to each individual. Help us to be sensitive. Father, thank you for these. Lord, I once again come to you and I ask for cleansing. I ask for your Spirit's filling. I ask that you'll help me because my will gets in the way of what you want for me. And many times, excuses, many times, just letting the flesh have its way and not you have your way. Father, please help us. You know our weaknesses. You know our failings. You know how easy it is for us to go back to our subroutines of our daily life. Lord, help us to realize that you want us to grow beyond our routine, our way of thinking, our way of dealing with life, our way of ministry sometimes. Father, please help us. Help each one that's here this morning. Work in our hearts. Work in our minds. And Lord, not just here, but throughout the week, help us to be sensitive to what you want us to do. And be obedient. Just do it and trust you for the rest. I pray in Jesus' name.